It's time for your Sunrise Guys.
Let me come in.
Oh, come on in, Swag. Water's warming here, buddy.
You come on in.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm going to configure your widget.
I'm all alone over here. I feel like I'm in the corner watching right now.
It's breakfast time.
Hey, Swag's going to go configure Dirt's widget. Oh, my Lord.
Dirt and Sprague.
He configured both our widgets.
Woo, buddy.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague, your Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. It is our one-year anniversary on FM and doing a four-hour show.
Fantastic.
So you can go ahead and send your gifts in, all right? Bring me a breakfast burrito or something. I do appreciate all the baby name texts coming in, pretty solid. We've also forgot Marty Schottenheimer.
Oh, R.I.P.
Marty Schottenheimer.
How can we forget about old Marty Schottenheimer?
Through our cracks.
By the way, real quick, I know we got to get to Lance Taylor, and I don't... Look, we recorded the interview.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
I don't want to ruin any part of the last 2 hours of the program, and we've got Saturday Story today.
Yeah, we do.
Did you see the delightful little Brandon Sprague news drop that we got in the NFL?
No. What happened?
Oh, we didn't.
No.
Oh.
Do we have breaking news?
I think we have a bit of breaking news, boys.
Do we? I've not been on Twitter.
Need to play it?
Yeah, play the sound.
After being mocked and ridiculed for about a week straight, Brandon Sprague continues to be right.
Oh.
Another NFL team building another stadium in a cold weather climate, adding a roof. Kansas City Chiefs, welcome.
Oh, they're doing a dome.
To the Sprague experience.
Cowards. Your fans' arms used to fall off. We used to be a proper country.
Not trying to be a chotch.
What happened to
us? Let's put Mahomes throwing the ball in minus 18 degrees.
But I know, man.
How about but climate control?
Such a good draw.
67 degree temperatures with no weather problems.
Swag's put
bro, I really don't care.
Is the all timer, dude. That is such a good
What do you mean
drop.
You don't care? Don't be mad at me.
Yeah,
Cleveland.
Stupid. Bunch of Kansas.
But I know, man.
You know why?
City. You know what's happening here? This is why China's dominating us.
This is wild.
We've gone soft, huh? Gone soft.
Yeah.
Bunch of candy asses. Get outside, play in the cold, lose your fingers, all right? Our forefathers used to. I did not see that. Did they officially announce it, like the renderings are out and
the
everything?
Renderings came out, Schefter, and people were like,
it's the least
wait
surprising thing ever. Kansas City wants to host a Final Four in a Super Bowl.
That's a dome?
You can only do that if you have a dome.
Well, aren't they Kansas City a name only now? Aren't they relocating?
I don't know. What side of the state are they going to build? Are they building in Missouri or are they going to Kansas?
Side.
I think they're going to the Kansas side, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're still going to be the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's a very... That whole thing has always confused me.
Incredibly confusing. The Kansas City's in Missouri.
I get backwards
and it's
sometimes.
Literally... It's like Portland to Vancouver. Yeah. It's like you're right there, but it's Kansas... It's like...
Yeah, but there's no river. There's no...
No, like, there's no river breakthrough.
At one point,
yeah.
You're like, nope, you're in Missouri. Nope, you're
so
in Kansas.
So just imaginary
just
line. Driving.
But there's a line somewhere. There's
there's
signs
thing.
Up on the freeway when you go from one state to
it says
the other.
Welcome to Missouri or welcome to Kansas. I'll never forget my brother lived in Charlotte. It was the same way. It was the weirdest. Like you would drive somewhere and the road would intertwine between north and it would be like welcome to South Carolina, welcome to North Carolina, welcome to South Carolina. Like you're just going in and they're like okay, but it's just right there.
Yeah.
So good stuff on the names. Kansas City building a dome. There you go. Put a dome on it. As Sprague said, spoiler alert. If you're watching on YouTube, you'll know we recorded this yesterday. Lance Taylor. Does a college football show next round live down in Alabama. They've been doing it for a long time. Good buddies with our friend Pate down there. And they're down at SEC Media Days, and his show was on at the same time as our show. And so it wasn't going to work to have him on live on the air, but we've wanted to have him on for a while. So here is a great SEC football conversation. Stick around to the end, by the way, to see who he picks to win the national championship, because that will be the last question of the interview. Here's Lance Taylor from yesterday. All right, starting off hour number three, let's talk some more college football, man. SEC Media Day is going on right now. We thought, well, we got to go down there to SEC country, find out more about what's going on. Are they going to secede from the union? Is the SEC leaving us behind in college football? Joining us now is Lance Taylor, at the Lance Taylor, co-host of the Next Round Live podcast, talking nothing but college football, and that's why we love him. Lance, thanks for the time all the way out here in, what are we, Pac-12/Big Ten country, I guess, now. The noise at SEC Media Day, Greg Sankey and others saying, you know, we'll take our ball and go home. What do you make of this? And is that the biggest takeaway here early on at SEC Media Days for you?
Thanks for having me, fellas. I am glad to know there is still passion in the Pacific Northwest for college football. Look, I think the SEC is kind of licking its wounds. You know, I was and you know, I've been covering this conference for more than a quarter of a century. And you guys remember, I mean, you know, it started in really 2006 with Urban Meyer's first Florida Gators national championship and just the domination running through, you know, basically Georgia's back-to-backs. And now we're talking about an SEC that has gone three consecutive years, not only not winning a national championship, but not even playing for one. I do think inevitably we are probably heading towards these super conferences that nobody wants, with 18 teams now in the Big Ten, and they are talking about, hey, we can max out at 19, a wink and a nod maybe for Notre Dame, and, you know, the SEC all the way up to 16. I really don't think that's a threat right now. I think it's more, you know, we had a 12-team playoff the last couple of years. We know this thing is going to get expanded. When's it going to get expanded? Let's see what that looks like first. But I'm holding out hope that we eventually don't get to a, you know, two super leagues. But I think a lot of people think that it's ultimately inevitable, guys.
Yeah, I think that was my takeaway, too, Lance, of like the first couple, you know, press conferences and statements we've heard. Sankey, obviously, is just like maybe they go the route you're talking about, which, you know, for Pac-12 and obviously Big Ten, not Duck fans out here, that's. I don't know how excited people are, but the sport has been evolving so much. My biggest takeaway is they just come off as kind of sore losers. Like, they had this dominant run over the college football landscape. They win how many titles in a row? And then now here's the Big Ten and the portal NIL era, and they win three in a row. And it just feels like a conference that we know is still great. They just come up short, and the Big Ten has capitalized on that. So, like, it is, in a way, is it almost as simple as that the SEC wins the title this year? Maybe the tune changes a little bit, but it just comes off to me like sour grapes that they haven't won in, you know, over 3 years.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah, I think the world is back normal if the SEC was to win a national championship this year. And obviously, Texas would be probably that favored team. And then, obviously, I think we sleep on Georgia a little bit just because Kirby, although he's won five of the last six SEC championships and he's gotten a back-to-back 12-team playoffs, he hasn't done anything in those 12-team playoffs. So, you know, I saw an article the other day that, you know, has Georgia missed its championship window. You know, and everybody talks about, like, you know, I think it's kind of comical because I saw the SEC at its best. And, you know, I'm an Alabama grad, but I pull for USC in college football. It's a very weird story that I'll tell you guys about another time when maybe we do another one of these hits. But I just I think it is kind of comical that the SEC is so beat up and they continue to lean on we are the deepest conference. And I agree they are the deepest conference, but that is kind of, you know, the analogy of she's got a great personality. Like, we care more about the looks. And the top of the conference of the Big Ten is winning championships, and that's what the SEC wants to get back to.
Yeah, I don't care what your personality is when you look like Sidney Sweeney. That's kind of what the Big Ten's got going on right now. We're talking Lance Taylor next round live at the Lance Taylor on Twitter. This is also part of the problem with college football is like so much of the conversation is dominated by this stuff when in reality I'm over here like, man, media days are here. Football's about to kick off. I can't wait to have it back on my TV. So from that angle, let me ask you, who is the coach? Maybe it's an easy answer for you down there because I feel like there's multiple you can go with. Who has the most pressure on them this year? Obviously, Lane and all the money they're spending at LSU. Your guy at Alabama, they gave him an extension, but a little underwhelming, I would care to guess, in the first 2 years based on fan expectations. Sark at Texas. Like, who's the guy with the biggest bullseye on their back got to win this year?
You know, I think it is a loaded question because I think you mentioned a lot of those guys. I mean, Sark coming off a 9-3 with Arch Manning, and I give them credit. They kept it on the rails, you know, as bad as they were at times offensively in September. They got better and better. But still, if that Texas with, in my opinion, probably the best roster in college football this year, if they didn't get to a college football playoff in back-to-back years, that's a problem for Sark. Not saying that he would get fired, but there is massive pressure there. You know, you mentioned Lane Kiffin. I heard Jordan Rodgers from the SEC Network and ESPN, you know, the last couple of days talk about if they don't play for a national championship, it's a disappointment. I think them not getting to a college football playoff with the amount they spent on this roster would be a disappointment, but I do think there's pressure there. Kalen DeBoer, 20-6 in his first couple of years, coming off an 11-win season where they win a playoff game on the road in Norman. They play for the SEC championship, but it just didn't look good. It didn't look like aesthetically the same Alabama we saw under Nick Saban. So it's great that Kalen DeBoer made strides and, you know, went from 9 wins to 11 wins, but they got dominated up front. They couldn't run the football. They couldn't really get after the quarterback. It just looked like a different Alabama team. It didn't look like a physical Alabama team. And, you know, you talk to anybody at SEC Media Days and nobody gives Alabama any shot to win this conference. So I do think it's an interesting year three for Kalen DeBoer, but guys that could lose their jobs. I mean, Shane Beamer, with that schedule, it, you know, I mean, it's just been up and down. Like, Beamer overall has done a pretty good job there, But coming off four wins with Lenore Sellers at quarterback, made a major mistake, promoting Mike Shula as his offensive coordinator. Now Kendall Briles comes in, better suited offensive coordinator for the physical quarterback they've got in Lenore Sellers. But, you know, I think if Beamer doesn't win seven or eight games, there's a good chance he gets blown out. So I think to answer your question, I know I went a long way around that. I think immediately the guy that could get fired is Beamer. But I think, you know, first year, it's got to be Lane Kiffin. And then just right there in the mix, Sark in Texas and even Josh Heupel at Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years ago, he was in a college football playoff. We talked about this on our show today. Last year at this time, when we found out Nico was going to UCLA and Joey Aguilar was coming in, I said, hey, if he wins eight games with Aguilar and how hamstrung he is at quarterback, he's done a hell of a job. But he wins eight games, and we still don't give him credit, including me. And I'm like, it seems kind of like a stale situation. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Josh Heupel as well.
Of the programs of note in the conference, because you're right, maybe Josh Heupel and Tennessee come to the forefront. I don't know about Clark Lee and Vanderbilt. I'm with you on 100% on Shane Beamer. I think if they start 2-2, see you later. Who is the program you just, for whatever reason, going into the season, you're not buying the hype on the way that others around college football might be?
Okay, so one of the things I do lean on is Las Vegas. You know, I've got a side website. I've been handicapping for a quarter of a century as well. I think Vegas kind of knows what they're doing, and I think it gets a little more difficult when you put team totals going into the season because now we're talking about a nine-game SEC schedule. But I do find it fascinating that LSU's team total is only 8.5. Obviously, they've got an upgrade from Nussmeier to what you get with Sam Leavitt if he is healthy. Lane Kiffin offensively is a very, very good coach, obviously an elite offensive coach, and they're coming off 11 wins at Ole Miss. But when you start to look at the schedule, if they were to somehow lose to Clemson and then you've got that nine-game SEC schedule coming up, like I would play that under 8.5. I know everybody to a man that goes through Vegas that wants to play futures, they're going to be playing over 8.5 wins for LSU. But I've just got this weird feeling they're going to go 8-4. So I'm not buying that hype. Again, I think Kiffin, a really good coach. I think in spots he's overrated, but can't deny he won 11 games in back-to-back seasons in Oxford, and that had never been done before.
Yeah. Well, what is 8-4 for Kiffin year one, given everything they didn't like about Brian Kelly and then even like the general controversy of him leaving Ole Miss before the playoff to go to LSU maybe having like the governor be involved, and it got a little political and just all this money. 8-4. Lance, I can't imagine that's sitting very well after year one.
I mean, disaster. Disaster. And, you know, and then Kiffin was talking about, he did Tyrann Mathieu. I forgot what the podcast was. I guess everybody's got a podcast now, including us. But, you know, he said, hey, we're going to win a national championship. And he didn't necessarily say it this year. But, like, I mean, we know. Like, I still think Brian Kelly's a hell of a coach. Something went on behind the scenes there that I don't think we know all of the ins and outs. But Brian Kelly, you know, from Grand Valley State to Cincinnati to Notre Dame, won games everywhere. And then when you look back and you look at him winning 9 or 10 games at LSU, it wasn't, like, awful. So if Kiffin had a worse record than Brian Kelly ever did and went 8-4 in year one, personally, I would find it really comical.
That would be a great – that no doubt that would be a great story. We played the audio on our show because, you know, the old offensive coordinator at Oregon takes a job at Kentucky, and Will Stein steps up there, and, hey, man, day one, give him credit. He made some headlines. People are talking Kentucky football. What's been the reaction of him saying, hey, why are we going to turn this around? He kind of dropped a bit of a Kurt Cignetti, Google me, I win. He said, we're going to do it because of me. What's the reaction in SEC country to that?
I like the bravado. I've been a big fan of Will Stein the last couple of years. You know, we do stocks up and down, which a lot of people do. And, you know, I've pointed to Stein multiple times over the last couple of years before he ever got that job. I mean, just an airtight, fun offense to watch. I love the confidence. You know, that's one of those that will bite you in the ass if, you know, they start out 1-5, which is a distinct possibility in year one. I do think Mark Stoops did a really good job there. I never believed after him winning 10 games for the first time that he would hang around. I think it shows you there is more of a commitment to football in Lexington. There's a lot of SEC money there. And I think now, you know, Kurt Cignetti makes the ridiculous questions possible now in college football. So, hey, why not Kentucky if Indiana can do it? I think it's a legitimate question.
Yeah.
I think Mark Pope probably doesn't want to see that because he wants all the NIL dollars for Kentucky basketball. But I love Stein going in, and look, I think for Kentucky fans, if you're losing games 34-31 instead of 10-9, I think that's a step in the right direction. Mm.
I think you look around the landscape of the SEC, and it's constant conversation with these big-name coaches. I'm curious, just outside of the view of SEC football down south, like when you guys are dabbling in college football, because we touch a lot on Big Ten stuff. We dab a little bit in Oregon State and Pac-12 stuff here, but like we generally love college football as a sport out here, so we kind of talk about all of it. But we're hyper-focused on Oregon and the Big Ten. I'm just kind of curious, down there, making roads of not only the Big Ten, but the viewpoints of Ohio State, Dan Lanning, who constantly gets linked to the next available SEC job and just continues to kind of confirm and reaffirm he wants to stay the coach at Oregon. Just how you view the program of Oregon down there the last couple of years of Dan Lanning and just the emergence of what the Big Ten has become at the top.
So I'm not saying this just because this is my initial first ever at bat with you guys, but I've got Oregon winning the national championship. And I have said over the last couple of years, if I'm Dan Lanning with those resources, and I've heard it as a pain in the ass for certain people to be able to get to Eugene, I think in NIL, I don't think it matters as long as you're paying the money and with those incredible facilities. I've always said, why would Dan Lanning leave a job where he can do something nobody's ever been able to do before? Like Chip Kelly did really, really good things there. Cristobal, solid job. I just think Lanning can do things that have never been done before, i.e. kind of a Dabo Sweeney at Clemson type situation. So, with the money he can make there, he can create his own legacy. I think this year is going to be special. I think that defense is going to be lights out. I think Dante Moore obviously came back for a reason. I think Oregon football is well respected. We talk about it a lot. I respect the hell out of Big Ten football, what they've been able to do, the conference they've created. Back to USC, I thought Lincoln Riley would have a little more success to this point. I do think the addition of Gary Patterson with that defense is going to be a difference maker. But I love what Sig's doing in Bloomington. Ryan Day has obviously, done a great job in Columbus. And, we'll see Kyle Whittingham, what he's able to do there, taking over Michigan. We'll see how long that lasts. But I think it's a great conference, and I think it's going to be a special year for the Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, you picked the Ducks to win the national title. We'll let you walk off on that one. Lance Taylor, next round live. Also, check out lanceslock.com, at the Lance Taylor on Twitter. A great first at-bat with the show. We'd love to do it again, man. Thanks for the time out here in Portland. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, man. Love the Pacific Northwest. I'm a huge Rams guy, too, and I came out for the first time, went to Lumen for NFC Championship game. It was not a great result for me. But I am a big fan of that part of the country and would love to join you guys at any point. Hopefully I will be back there sooner than later.
I love the random fandoms that come out. By the way, thanks again to Lance Taylor for hopping on. He was really fun to talk to. Love getting an Alabama accent to talk football. It just feels more authentic. I love the mix of an Alabama / USC fan.
Also Rams.
So there's an LA tie, clearly, but...
Well, but the Rams, he probably was a St. Louis fan, right?
You would imagine.
Or unless that was the early LA.
Could have been the early
tenure.
LA Rams.
I don't know.
Maybe he's got a dad from LA. Maybe he moved to LA for a bit.
Next time we get him on, we should randomly...
I need to know.
Can you explain the USC thing to us?
I need to know. Also, man...
I bet you it's a dad played for the Rams and the Trojans. I bet it's,
somebody... something like that? Okay.
Because I looked him up. He looks like a bigger guy.
Yeah. I enjoy their show. It's college football all the time, and I love college football. Nobody's given us a chance.
Except the South, where they love it the most.
Plus, let's laugh at each other, shall we? Next on The Fam. Thanks again to Lance Taylor for hopping on. Fun college football conversation. SEC Media Days roll on. Kalen DeBoer is today. Very tan, Kalen DeBoer. Very tan.
Did you say Lance?
You say Lance? I didn't want to make that joke too, but I will save that for our second at bat with Lance Taylor.
See, I think when you have a name that gets thrown into an iconic comedic movie in a way like that.
Nance. I said Nance.
I think you have to lean in and love it.
You have to. You have no choice. Lance. You said Lance. You say Nance. Who would you say Lance?
Lance
over there?
Bass.
Lance Bass. Good one.
Yeah.
It's a solid poll. He likes my Oregon Ducks to win the national championship.
Yeah, he's doubting. He's doubting Dan Lanning.
Nobody is giving us a chance.
Boy.
Nobody, man.
And short of a semifinal is a massive disappointment for you this year. Good luck.
Fire them all, man. Can't wait. It's going to be a fun year.
My team's just hoping to win four games.
You get to four, you're feeling solid.
Look, it may not be pretty. It may not be a talked-about-much topic, Oregon State, because they might struggle.
They could. We don't know.
But there is, admittedly, a little bit of like, let's just stretch here.
Dude, no expectations is a good, I mean, that's the one benefit of no expectations is that it's like you're not going in with any sort of thought of success. And if you get it, you're pleasantly surprised. If you don't, what do you care? That's what you were 2-10 last year. You can go only go up from there with a new coach.
How about an SEC guy just picking the Big Ten team to win the whole enchilada?
It would be pretty funny to watch. That is one of the other subplots. Obviously, Oregon winning a national title would fulfill my life, and it would be over. But it would also be the hilarious aspect of the Big Ten doing it 4 years in a row with four different teams and watching the continued meltdown from SEC country.
They might finally secede.
That would be it. Like, we're done. We're not doing this because Lance even admitted. Like, if the SEC wins a national title this year, a lot of this chatter stops. We're not the strength of schedule. Like, if Georgia or Texas or LSU or pick your fighter, Ole Miss with Trinidad Chambliss, they win a national championship, they sit down and shut up.
That made me actually, that made me feel better because I think from time to time we get caught in our own bubbles.
Yes.
And I think it's easy for us out here to examine the full landscape. Still like the Big Ten's chances to do it again, but also acknowledge like the SEC's kind of being a bunch of whiny bees.
Yes, it's because they haven't been able to win.
But you get a guy from the South, and sometimes you think a guy from a certain region is going to give you their flavor.
Right, he's in their Kool-Aid.
And he's like, no, dude, they're absolutely being a bunch of whiny bees.
Stop complaining and go win at the highest level.
I thought he was great. I want to get him back on when we get to August and camps get going.
Yeah.
So, I can't fault him for picking your team. I think it's going to be a really trendy pick. I think Pate's going to pick your team this year.
Yeah, Notre Dame, Texas, Oregon, Ohio State. Like, we know who it, like, the four or five teams that will get picked to win the national title this year. I don't think many picks are coming from outside of that group of teams. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to win it because nobody picked Indiana to do it last year, just on preseason expectations.
If you want to go the laundry list of usual suspects coming into it, I'm fine with it. There's a part of me, as a college football spectator, why don't you prove it, Texas?
Yeah.
Like, you can say Oregon, massive disappointment, getting blown out by Indiana, getting blown out by Ohio State, no doubt.
Right, but no, there's no question what they've done in every other game of the season leading up to that. The season just hasn't ended the way you wanted.
They're going to be in a conversation in a way of, like, I'm not questioning anything. Texas didn't make the playoff.
No. And they lost to Florida.
Right.
Who was not good, and they fired their coach.
Now, you can say, well, either Notre Dame, Sprague. No, but Notre Dame was in the title game
two years ago. Yeah, they had some massive wins on the way there.
And they were one game away. And you can say Texas was too, but Texas had a loss against Florida.
Right.
And Florida was awful last year.
They also should have lost to Mississippi State, if you remember that game. They were down by double digits in the fourth quarter and came back and won the game in overtime. And checks notes, Mississippi State also not good next year. So that's totally fair. I also think, and this is part of being a Duck fan, right? Like, you get a lot of jokes, a lot of jabs that come your way, you got to roll with the punches. You got to embrace it. When your team gets blown out and the game's over in the first quarter of a semifinal, people are going to poke fun at you. And if you fight back, it's only going to make it worse. So you got to kind of embrace the shots. This one was out. So I saw this. Dustin Nickerson is a Northwest comedian. And I've seen some of his clips. We had a listener who said he went to a show at Helium recently. And
he's
great.
He goes to Portland all the time.
He's always in Portland. Yeah. I don't know if he goes outside of the Northwest or if he's just a Northwest guy.
Get his contact. Maybe I can try to get
him. It'd be fun, man. It'd be fun. So he's a Seattle. He's a Husky guy. And so he leads that. You know, there's a lot of jokes that happened college football related. This was one. I saw this on social media yesterday, and even I had to laugh at this one.
The hard thing about American, like, men's soccer is so much money is dumped into it. I don't know if you know this about that, but, like, millions and millions of dollars go into the academies, to the uniforms, to the stadiums, and they still never win. It's so frustrating. Like, every 4 years, all of America knows what it feels like to be a Ducks fan.
In the backyard, that's great.
I love hearing the boo.
But then also kind of like, yeah, you're right.
That's
a
good shot. Well done.
Sit down.
And you know what the worst part is? I'm a Husky. that was fun for me. Thank you. You know what? I love the rivalry, by the way. Like, this is normal. Did you know other conferences don't do this? Other conferences cheer for their conference. I have no love for you. None. Somebody asked me, like, do you cheer for Oregon in the national championship? You go, I don't want someone from Oregon to cure cancer. I don't want... That's a real rivalry right there.
Nice try.
Everywhere I go, I like to tell these jokes. I was in Corvallis a couple months ago, and someone's like, "Dude, you didn't do any jokes about the Beavers." I'm like, "Who?"
We catch them straight.
And they go, "Oh, you're the Oregon State Beavers." I was like, "Oh yeah, I don't punch down. I don't." And that's how you get a crowd back on your side, right, Dads?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Awkwardly quiet too, of like,
it's a nice,
you know,
little shot.
It's funny he says that, and I remember we did this years ago. It's probably one of the worst takes I've had for people. It has to largely be like back the conference if they're in a position to win.
Yeah, back the pack. We used to have that debate all the time. Do you back the pack?
I totally get it. You never would in certain circumstance. I get
outside
it.
Of Washington and USC, I would have backed anybody,
but I don't think they do that at other conferences.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
It's a good
thing.
Joke, but you're not convincing me that Alabama fan is watching the title game between Notre Dame and Georgia and going, "Let's go, Bulldog, we gotta get the conference title."
Yeah,
like,
get another championship.
No.
Maybe it's different if you've won a bunch of them.
No.
I don't know if that changes it, but I wasn't rooting for
Was Michigan rooting for Ohio State?
No. Primary rivals.
Ohio State rooting for Michigan against who did they end up beating? Washington?
Right.
No.
Primary rivalries, you can't do it. That makes it complicated. It also makes it complicated if you lost to that team. Like, that was the situation I was in last year. I had Indiana versus Miami in the national title game. So on one hand, it was going to be a team that won their first title, becoming the first since Florida in the mid-90s to do it, something Oregon always wanted to accomplish, or your ex-girlfriend winning a national. It was like I was in a rock and a hard place, and I didn't have any rooting interest in that game because of it.
Well, where were you? Okay, like, I hear you. I do think it's possible.
I also didn't root for Ohio State to win the national title, even though they beat my team.
They have a million of them.
Yeah.
We do say, like, you need a rooting interest, right? Like, I think there are circumstances where you don't, but you can still maybe have a slight lean. Like,
yes,
I would imagine the slight lean had to be Indiana.
The
because
slight lean
you
was
don't
Indiana.
Want to see the ex-girlfriend.
It's less painful to see Indiana win a national title than it is Mario to win a title at Miami. Less pain, still painful, but slightly less painful.
Yeah, because it's like marrying a Bezos. It's like, well, cool, he upgraded to the trillionaire life.
Right.
We're still down here as a little billionaire trying to
that's all we
make
got,
our
man.
Way in the world.
We're just struggling. Little engine that could, trying to fight our way through the world, man.
I got his website here. I'll see if we can get him on. I've seen some of his clips. I saw some of them last year. I know he's a Seattle-based comedian. I know he was at Helium not long ago. Like, he's got some pretty funny bits. And I like the ribbing. I like going in between all the fan bases.
It makes it fun, man. It does make it fun. They will undoubtedly be one of the trendy picks going into the season, which is not a world. It's a blessing and a curse, because I like doing the nobody's giving us a chance, even though it is tongue-in-cheek. But when you're one of the odds-on favorites, it rings a little bit hollow. Last year felt a little more valid. I remember doing shows last year around this time talking about the thought of Oregon falling off as laughable and Danny Meringue yelling at me about, you know, being a cocky, arrogant Oregon fan. And then Oregon went out and won 11-1, returning 4 starters, so who ended up being right in that conversation. Last year, though, there was a legitimate thought. Like, we had not seen Dante. He was pick 6 UCLA Dante. Ironically, ended up being pick 6 Peach Bowl Dante. they had only returned 4 starters. Like, there was this thought of, like, this is going to be a down year for Oregon. And I didn't bring it up with Lance because we didn't have time. One of the guys on his show, there's like 4 guys that kind of rotate and they all talk college football. It's a great college football show. One of they were doing these preseason hot takes going into the year, like, give me your hottest college football take. And one of the guys on the show picked Oregon to be, because every year we do the who's the team in the top 10 that falls out of the top 25 at the end of the year, because it happens every year. Last year, Clemson.
Florida State,
right? Yeah. Every year, there's one or two teams. Michigan's been this in years recent. Mm-hmm. And he picked Oregon to be that team. And so there was a little bit of skepticism going into the year. It ended quickly when they, I think, hung 69 on Oklahoma State and then beat Penn State. And this year, it is the exact opposite. It is championship or bust for Oregon, or at least appear in the championship or bust for them.
Not a doubt about it. I mean, at some point, too, it's like it's also how the season ends. It's one thing to have disappointment in a title game. It's you know, you fall just short in a playoff game. Getting absolutely obliterated in the last two
is unallowable.
Yeah.
It's against the law this year.
And then, like, remember the OC of Indiana was on – he was popping off on Twitter like late at night, and he was basically like, oh, we were ready the second time. He was basically saying how predictable they were.
Yes, it was easier to game plan against them because their coaches had 2 feet out the door, essentially.
Which was something we highlighted going in of like, is this going to be a problem? And not everybody bought that. But
right.
Yeah, that's what it is for me. It's not like if you don't win the title, okay, one team is going to win it out of the group of 12 that can, right? But it is how you lose, too. If you lose on a field goal to Indiana, you're like, damn.
We were close. It's painful.
Close,
but
another bridesmaid to the bride, right? Like,
there's something you could chew on there.
That was two teams that didn't look like they belonged in the same field. And we know from a stat and talent profile, that's not the case.
Should not be the case.
Lanning goes in with, it's not that you're going to fire Dan Lanning. It's more like, are you gonna kind of show that you've learned from your last two end-of-season experiences? I enjoy the banter. I'm so jacked for college football. I think it's going to be a great season. And, you know, we got somebody in our backyard. We met him yesterday. Right, Gasaway?
We did. Georgia Bulldog.
By the way, did not talk about this. We got to meet him very quickly between commercial breaks.
Dude, the guy's got baseball glove size hands,
dude,
man. I thought it was going to swallow my hand.
Almost broke my hand.
He did. Very authoritative shake.
And look, great dude. Good friend of the program.
His thing, by the way, I listened to almost all of it driving around on the way home and all that. He was great.
He's very informed.
The insight with Patrick and Danny yesterday.
He's killing it right now. He nearly broke my hand with that shake, and I just thought, all right, like, it's one thing to go and like confirm.
Dude, Georgia Bulldogs, they come at you, all right? They'll bark at you at a baseball game if you're not careful.
He shook my hand like I was somebody that offended his mother. I walked away. I was like, okay.
I feel like I have baby hands right now, man. I thought I had good sized mitts over here.
We had to meet a corporate overlord right after that. And I was like nervous to shake his hand because I'm like, is he going to break my hand too?
I just got a double squeeze in the last 90 seconds. That thing's going to need some ice later today.
Man.
Let's stick in college football. We will get to Statter Story in the final hour of the show, a couple of their odds and ends, but a little bit more from SEC Media Days, including the expectation for a young player, will he and will the team make the same mistake that others have made? We'll talk a little bit about that next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. It is 8:46 on your Wednesday morning.
Ooh, I like it.
We're talking college football on the show. Statter Story coming up, final hour.
What would you do? I'm asking you sincerely.
Yeah.
Some people think that the talent knew Ryan Clark was being let go during the NFL Live show.
Ooh, they had a heads up advance of it.
It's
and
just
Clark
speculation.
Didn't know? Yeah.
Like, if you got wind that I was going to be let go at the end of a show, would you tell me?
Yes.
What if they told you not to tell me?
I'd still tell you.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Had somebody here once do that to me in the kitchen. I went back. I was like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, they literally turned and they went, if you catch wind that they're going to let me go, I'm going to need you to tell me.
Can you go ahead and give me a heads up on that?
I went, what?
You think I'm going to get the heads up? You think they're going to tell me? You think I'm high enough on the food chain to get that update?
I said, you think they're just consulting me on choices for your job?
I just get very angry emails from the HR lady who I don't know who she is, but I wasn't doing something. I had to do it. And then I get the emails and people. I got a very strongly worded HR email last week.
Well, you need to respond to the emails when they're telling you need to fill out a form.
It's very offensive.
You also asked a very offensive question yesterday. To our bosses. I get away with this thing? Can we just do it this way? Can you pay me in cash?
Can we go under the table salary? Yeah, under the table salary would be great, would it not? Cash,
Swag and I
duffel
were
bag?
Thinking the exact same thing.
Lendale
like,
White
would
style?
You ask your boss.
Just
that?
Deliver it in a McDonald's bag every other week, straight cash, homie. I can wash that money. Let's do it, man. Anywho, we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the radio program. We are inching closer and closer, I don't know if you're aware of this, to the start of college football.
Mm.
And there's a lot of great storylines. I feel like we've hit on them kind of going through Big 12 Media Days and ACC Media Days. We had the Dion and the Colorado stuff. Go through ACC Media Days. It's Miami versus everybody else. And now the focus is on the SEC this week. Next week, by the way, will be the Big Ten's moment in the sun. They have their Media Day. Lanning is talking on Wednesday, I believe, right next week. Wednesday, thumbs up from Swag. So the Ducks will go next Wednesday.
Do we know the time yet? We don't have times for these.
That's a good question.
I haven't seen that
be
detailed
cool if
he was of a
6:45
because they do, the bigger conferences do this where it's like 3 days and they split up like four to five school, you know, you do a chunk of schools a day and then you rotate, so
where
not everybody's on
year?
The same day.
Where's Big Ten?
Chicago.
Okay, I thought Chicago was next year. Where is it next year?
I don't know that they've decided.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if they've announced that or not. Mm. Chicago would be a fun. I mean, we talked about that earlier, going on vacation to Chicago. That's a cool place to go visit.
I want to go, man.
Check out a Cubs game while you're there.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're in town. You're at Big Ten Media Day. It's a lot of fun. So that'll be next week. We'll have their moment to talk a little bit more about the Big Ten. One of the more interesting storylines is the idea, and this kind of touches on something that makes the SEC unique, and that is I feel like to a certain extent, now this is not true of everybody, some of the floor in the SEC has been raised, and they're ceiling has been lowered. So this is kind of the conversation we have of, they don't necessarily have a team that we look at and say, well, that team's obviously the favorite to win the title. Texas has the best odds, but as you pointed out in the last segment, what? Like, kind of want to see it? Kind of want to go out there and do it? Let's say you look against Ohio State in week two, you get them at home, they're coming to your building. But I also think the other side of that coin is that the floor has been raised and that you have programs who weren't necessarily great. Vanderbilt is the prime example of this. Vanderbilt went 10-2 last year. 10-2. And nobody argued about Vanderbilt being or not being in the playoff because they're Vanderbilt.
I think they still fly under the radar.
Right. We did it with Texas at 9-3. We did it at Notre Dame at 10-2, but we didn't do it with Vanderbilt. Well, Vanderbilt is likely going to do something this year that has not worked well in college football. But before we get to that, here is Clark Lee on them maintaining their underdog mentality.
I think we're still internally the chip on the shoulder underdog that has a lot to prove. There's nothing that we inherit from last season that has to do with any future win. Everything's about the responsibility we have over the program that we have built, but how this team can actually move it forward. And maybe more importantly, how this team can fully express itself over the course of the next 6 months. My hope would be that the program with every year becomes a little more of a thorn in the side to other SEC fan bases.
Well, and this is where, so they are bringing in, if you remember, we followed the recruitment battle because Oregon was involved in it. The kid was committed to Georgia for a long time.
Jared Curtis.
Decommitted to kind of open it back up. Oregon had a shot to get him. He ends up committing to Vanderbilt. Jared Curtis, he was the number one quarterback in the country. Clark Lee had some answers on him yesterday about, you can take him at his word if you want to. He said that we didn't promise him anything in recruiting. We didn't promise him a starting spot. He said that was the most exciting thing about signing him was there wasn't this, we're rolling out the red carpet. They obviously put together a solid NIL package in order to go get him. And we had mentioned a week ago on the show that some of these college football players, some guys at Oregon, understandably, have inked endorsement deals with Nike. Lost in the kind of press release of that, one of the guys that already signed an NIL deal with Nike is Jared Curtis.
Yep.
He has not played a down of college football yet. And I find that fascinating for a couple reasons. Because one, Vanderbilt has been on the rise. Are they going to remain there? It's one thing to get to a certain point. Now you got to maintain and sustain it. Can they do that? And then can they buck the trend of, and maybe there's a name you guys will throw at me that's like, oh yeah, duh, no, I forgot about him. But I just feel like the recent track record in college football shows us highly touted freshman quarterbacks playing, really no matter where you go, does not end well for the coach or for the player. They're already talking about moving on from Bryce Underwood at Michigan, and that guy got reportedly like $15 million to go sign there. DJ Lagway was this in Florida. He's now at Baylor. Dante Moore was this at UCLA. He's now at Oregon. Riola, Nebraska, ironically at Oregon. Like, there's a lot of guys that have had chances to come in right away, and it hasn't necessarily worked. And I would be shocked if he's not their starter, but maybe they try the NFL thing of just how that shakes out and do they actually have a bona fide star at quarterback? Because if they do, the staying power of Vanderbilt will be there.
That was, I can't remember if it was Underwood. It might have been with Underwood in Michigan. That's something I've kind of been wondering now for a couple years. It's not that Dan Lanning doesn't want Jared Curtis.
Right.
Lanning has a little bit of a track record. It's not a long one, but it's a little bit of a convincing a kid to maybe take the sit deal for a year, right? Dante did it. Now Rayola is doing it.
Come
right?
learn for a year.
Even Kep Nova sat around, and that was a guy that maybe could hit the portal and gone somewhere sooner.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to want to boost your recruiting rankings. You want the best Jimmys and Joes you can. Jared Curtis could very well work out really well at Vanderbilt. I'll be curious to see how they do this. Do they sit him for the first couple weeks, bring him in midseason, let him take his bump and bruises, and hope everybody around him can carry him to maybe an 8-win season? We'll see. But I asked out loud, like, is it really worth the squeeze in the portal era to go all in, devote a bunch of resources to the true 5-star, top whatever quarterback? I mean, we've gone through the list of guys who don't play for the schools that they went to.
Right.
If Bryce Underwood fails this year and loses the job to the other Carr brother, he's gone.
He's gone.
And so it's just like, it's not that they don't work. We'd have to go back. I think we found one guy.
I found one guy just in looking at last year's class. And I don't know what the future holds, but I would say a good year one.
Yeah.
Sagaputulele at Cal.
That's
right. And remember, his first start was in Corvallis. You're like, you're playing a freshman quarterback. Who's this kid?
Absolutely.
And he lit you up like a Christmas tree.
And that's a good example. But largely, they struggle a lot, and they end up getting pulled, or it gets a coach fired. And so it's not that you don't try. It's just, I don't know how worth it really is. The juice being worth the squeeze, I don't know if that's worth it for a lot of programs where you can just go in the portal and get your quarterback. Miami's probably going to play this the rest of Mario's career. Because why would you... You may think you're different, but like, what would be the point of just saying we're going to start a true freshman? You're kind of punting on your season in a lot of ways.
It does feel like that. Like, we've had guys
and
who
those
have
programs
been...
can't afford to do that. So
no.
Why not play the game of Darian Mensah saw our last two quarterbacks, and now he's coming up. He's still a young prospect.
Dude, if he has a good year, he's a top 10 pick. He's a Heisman finalist.
So, I've been wondering this for a while of, like, is it really worth it when most of these guys end up transferring, busting, or getting a coach fired?
Yeah, it's interesting. Looking through some of the names quickly, the 2024 quarterback rankings, the top three guys in the country were DJ Lagway, Florida, now at Baylor, Dylan Raiola, Nebraska, now at Oregon, and then Julian Sand was the third. Now, remember, he was committed to Alabama for a long time. Saban retires. He decommitted, ended up at Ohio State. And in that flip to Ohio State, he did not play year one. He redshirted. So C.J. Carr was also in that class.
Yep.
Did not play freshman year. He redshirted for a year. So there's a handful of guys in here that you're like, oh, I know that name. He didn't play right away. The kid at Texas Tech who's going to be their starter, Will Hammond, was a top 15 quarterback.
Yep.
But again, didn't play right away. And so that's the unique thing kind of that you're highlighting of just – are you better served letting them sit for half the season? The other quarterbacks from 2025, let me quickly pull this up, because Bryce Underwood I know was number one. Hold on. Quarterback position, last year's class. Yeah, Bryce Underwood was number one. Keelon Russell was number two. Did not play right away at Alabama. He's in line to be potentially a starter there this year. He's in the mix as a redshirt freshman. Tavian St. Clair was Ohio State guy, didn't play. Houston Longstreet, I think he transferred. He's a USC guy, left. Malik Washington did play at Maryland, but again, that's a lower level. Not a lower level, but you get what I'm saying. Not a big expectation program. I had that one circled, man. Jared Curtis, number one quarterback, randomly chose, not randomly, Vanderbilt's been on a good run the last 2 years, but picked Vanderbilt out of all the schools that were recruiting him, and he's in line to start right away, and maybe he bucks the trend of a freshman coming in and being good. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Statter story coming up in a little bit. A couple of NBA odds and ends I want to get to, a couple of NFL nuggies. It is loaded. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 FM, The Fam.